Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Let's see. We got, every time I think things are slowing down, they aren't. So we got things going on, and that's good. I'm not complaining. Tonight, Melinda Cole, Merry Wind Farm, will be our second in our series of samplers on Wednesday night, Stitch Hour Sampler Showing. So join us tonight at 8 o'clock, and we'll get to see a bunch of samplers from Melinda Cole. And if you missed it last week with Kim Young, we had some good ones there, some really good ones. And you want to go back and watch that show, because she read one of her charts. She has the full obituary for the young lady, Mabel Tuke. And Kim read us the full obituary, and it's really an accounting of almost daily of her last 2 weeks of life and reflections on her as a person. And it is absolutely riveting. And I'm buying the chart just to own it, just because of that. But check that out. And then so we'll have Melinda Cole tonight. And then next week I'll be in Phoenix. So I'll be with Vicki Jennett of Needlework Press. Will be at her house, which is basically a needlework sampler and antique needlework tools museum. Been there once before. So we're going to do the show live from there with Vicki. And then on October 6th, I'll be at the Attic with Gene Lee. And, of course, we won't have any trouble finding samplers there. So make a note in your calendars to join us for those. If samplers are even of remote interest to you, you'll really enjoy them, the history and everything that's behind them. So that series every week now through October 6th. And this week, I'll put up a couple extra videos over the weekend because I'll be at the Galleria in St. Charles and do some videos there, though I've been warned that it is usually so packed with people that doing videos might be difficult. So I'll do my best. Yep. Other than that, you know, nothing going on. No.
Yeah, and you're just back from EGA seminar, so.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that, because you taught, how many classes did you teach there?
Just one.
Just the one?
Mm-hmm.
4 days, 2 days, 3 days?
Four days, yeah,
oh,
four
okay.
days.
Okay, just one, but 4 days, okay, all right.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, same difference, yep. So, a couple of other things. Last week, I talked about the Sarah Parr sampler that I'm stitching, and that I was going to put a new verse in, and that I'd started to stitch it. And then Jennifer mentioned that I might use the computers that I have sitting all over the place to do that rather than charting it out with paper and pencil. And then listener Ann Mahoney, longtime listener, wrote to me and said that if I go to needlepointers.com or stitchpoint.com, that both of them have tools there that I can put my verse in, and it will basically chart it for me.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So needlepointers, that's needlepointers with an S.com. And I checked, and yes, they both have them. I've not done it yet. So needlepointers.com and stitchpoint.com. So if you have a chart, have a phrase or something you want charted on a grid, use those, because they're there rather than sitting down with pencil and paper and trying to fight through it. Looks like that's an easy way to do it. So thanks to Ann Mahoney for that. Cause that, you know, that's something, you know, I've wanted to do some lettering on needlepoint canvas, and you know, I've actually sat down and charted it out with pencil and paper, but if somebody's going to do it for me automatically, I'm in. So have you used one of those, or that new to you too?
I've not used
You have your
that,
own system. Yeah.
But I've got my own charting software that I use, so
yeah. Yeah, I suppose by this time you don't need you pretty much can do it. Mm-hmm. Never mind, dumb question. Moving on. Moving on. Have you ever done it? Why would you?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that back when I first started Debbie's Designs, I was primarily cross-stitch. I didn't get into County Canvas until a few years after I'd started. And one of the things that I was doing was a lot of things with words on them and things like that. So, yeah, I charted a lot of words.
Yeah. Okay. So you're no help there. But anyway, for everyone else, needlepointers.com and Stitch Point.
This sounds like it'd be a great resource for people because, you know, I see on Facebook all the time, I need help charting out a name, or I want to put the wedding date or the birth date or whatever. And so that should be a tremendous help for people who want to personalize something that they're stitching.
Yep. So, all right, I'm going to check that out. And I'll report back at some point soon, because I'm actually at that section where I have to stitch that. So, and it's over one. So I gotta, so I gotta get going. What I'm going to do, my strategy is, I'm going to, every time I sit down to stitch on it, I'm going to stitch at least a couple of letters, and then I'm going to move on to something else, and then just keep plugging away that way. Because
there you go.
Yeah, then I'll get it done, and I won't hate it.
Right.
Yeah. Also, here's an opportunity. The Embroiderers Guild of Western Australia, and that's in Perth, that area of, Michelle Long wrote to me. And they have, as a fundraiser, they have from their collection, from their guild collection, a 1707 German sampler. And it has a little white work in it and some cross stitch and some other stitches. So it's a 1707 German sampler. It's a beautiful little thing that they have charted in its original format. And as she said, with errors, you know, whoever stitched it originally with the errors and everything. And they have charted that, and they're using it as a fundraiser. But what they've done is they did it the original way, which involves some stitches, and then they also did one, what they're calling a reimagined version, that is mostly just straight cross-stitch. Yeah, so I thought that was a really good idea, because some people just don't want to do specialty stitches. And,
right.
So they have both available. If you get both of them, you can get both of them for $20 Australian, or you can get the original for $15. So you have to spend the $20 to get the reimagined one, but then you get both of them. And so that's $20 and $15 Australian. And, of course, that's less U.S. dollars for those of us in the States. I'm not going to even try to calculate all around the world. But so that's a real reasonable price, and it's a fundraiser for the guild. And I will forewarn you, it's kind of weird when you order, because they used a ticket system like you would buy tickets for a concert to purchase it. So it'll set you back a little bit as you work through it. But it, once you catch on, you're just buying a ticket, and the ticket is a chart. And it works very well. And I bought one, of course. I had to, because it was there. And then when you buy it, and then I bet it wasn't 30 seconds, I had the download link in my email and downloaded it. It's a PDF download. And so check that out as a fundraiser. Now, it's embroidersguildwa.org.au is the URL. Or I set up wetalkfiber.com/German, because I thought that'd be easier to remember. So wetalkfiber.com/German will get you to the homepage, and it's the main thing on the homepage for the Embroiderers Guild in Western Australia. So wetalkfiber.com/German, that will get you there, and you can do that. So I encourage you to check it out. It's a really neat chart. And if you like specialty stitches, that one is, it looks like that's what I'm going to do. It's going to be fun to do. And if you don't, then you have the other option, and you're helping the guild raise money. And in Australia there, they've been shut down so many times that I'm sure they need to raise some money.
Oh, my goodness. I bet they do.
Oh, geez. Yeah. And when they shut down, it's just lights off. You're done.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So check that out. That's all the promo stuff that I have so far. Yay. I wanted to ask you when we did the video for the 2022 EGA seminar, the first, when we're going around the table, Beth and I, and commenting and videoing, the first one was your, and I don't remember the names now, and of course a smart guy would have written them down, but the one that is on the black canvas, what is that one?
Fantasia.
Yes, Fantasia.
Oh, okay, no,
No.
You're talking about for next year for
Right.
EGAs.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic. It is a companion to Fantasia.
Oh, okay. I didn't put that together. All right. So that one is on black with these vivid colors, and I mean, it just stopped me. It's like, whoa, that one's a good one.
Well,
So
thank you.
yeah, no, it really is. And so that's a really nice one. And that's Debbie Rowley. Yeah, you can tell that's Debbie's piece. And then we go around to the other side, and there's a piece that's a mermaid. And so different for you. I mean, I
Yeah.
didn't even recognize it as your work until you read the card down there. So, and I, man, I'll tell you, that one I think is fantastic. I really got excited about that one. What, how does that come to be? What, did you just have a flash moment or?
Well, I frequently will walk around Hobby Lobby for inspiration. Inspiration as to color combinations, decorating trends, ways to display things, all kinds of stuff. And they have just a plethora of things with mermaids. All different stuff, and I've always liked seashells, and of course, I've done seashells in needlepoint for a long time, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I could do a mermaid. How would I do a mermaid? And so that's where that came from. For Hobby Lobby.
Well, but it's so different for you. It's such a different design, and I just but it's terrific. I think it's just terrific. I mean, you really nailed it.
Yeah.
And so it must have been
Well,
fun to put
thanks.
together.
It was fun. There were some problems I had to work out and some issues I had to take care of. And, I managed to work through them. And so, I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback on it, which really kind of surprised me. I thought, well, nobody's going to like this.
No, that's the colors, it's not a very variety of Jessica stitches and things like that. I mean, it's a
No, it's
completely
nothing like
different
that.
thing.
Well, what it is, the teaching concept of it, the mermaid is just the little mermaid's tail is just decoration. The main thrust is learning how to compensate small patterns or small stitch patterns and how to read a diagram. Because a lot of times you're confronted with a diagram that doesn't have any numbers on it. Or it'll show you a single stitch in isolation, but not how to go from one to the other. And so this is a teaching project. I'm going to paint the canvases with an ombered, watercolor from light to dark. But then the students will draw their own divisions on that for how they want to divide up the areas of the water. But what we'll be focusing on in class is how to read a diagram and move smoothly from one stitch to the next stitch within the pattern. Is there equal tension on each end of the stitch, and are there going to be massive thread carries, and is this pattern better to do horizontally, diagonally, vertically? Those kinds of things, because a lot of times we don't get numbers or anything. You'll just see, here's the pattern. Well, how do you work it? And so that's what the focus is.
All right, I can see that. Yeah, and we'll put a picture. We can put a picture because we've already done the video and everything else. So, but I think yeah, we can safely put a picture up so people can see it.
Okay.
EGA won't mind. We're promoting EGA. They won't mind.
Yeah, well, and they EGA and ANG both encourage us to promote the classes that we're offering so that people see them and get excited about them. And from advertising, people have to see something three or four times before they take action on it.
Standard. So we'll put a picture up because it's just yeah, I applaud you. It's really a neat one, and it's so different for you. And yeah, it looks like it'd be a lot of fun to stitch. And now that you've explained the educational part, I can see the value in that design all the way around. That's really great. So,
You know, it's one thing to come up with a pretty design that people want to stitch. It's another thing to find out what is the teaching value. What can I teach as using this as the template, if you will, for what I'm teaching? Because I don't ever want to be the teacher that does the same thing over and over again, just different colors.
Never
have wanted to do that. I want things, you know, to look like they're my design, but there has to be some kind of value, some kind of teaching value in it in order for it to be a teaching project. Otherwise, just release the chart.
Right, exactly. Here's a chart. Just execute it. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'll spoon feed you exactly everything how to stitch this. But, you know, when you're learning, one of the things that I focus on when I'm teaching a class is let's look at the structure of this stitch so that every time you encounter it, you'll know exactly how to stitch it. You won't need to look at the diagram so much. You just need to get your endpoints and then just stitch it, because not everybody writes fantastic diagrams and instructions. And you don't want to see a project, oh, I absolutely love this, but the instructions are always so crappy, I don't think I'll be able to do it. And there are people like that. I mean, when I was just stitching, if I encountered difficulties from a particular designer while stitching one of their projects, I never bought another one. Because, you know, things were miscounted, they were in the wrong spot, the instructions weren't good. I would have to go look up 18 stitch references to figure out how to work this stitch because they didn't tell me. And I just never bought anything from that designer again. And so I really don't want that to be a hindrance. If you see something that you really love and that you really want to stitch, well, if I can give you the grounding and the basics of how to stitch that, then you can stitch anybody's thing.
Yeah, without detailed charts,
Without detailed charts or instructions,
I'm looking over here at my little pile of half-finished charted canvas pieces, and I know over there are two of them. That is exactly what's happened to me. They weren't yours.
Thank you. Which one was it?
No, weren't yours, no. But there's two from designers that had errors in them, and I went to look for corrections, and there are no corrections. And one I had to tear out a massive amount just because there was an error in the chart and I didn't catch it. And so my enthusiasm for those two just went away. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. And I'll finish them eventually, because now I know to watch at every turn for a problem. But exactly. And every chart, you know, everybody designer has errors. It's, you know, that's just kind of But to acknowledge them and to post corrections and help people get through them is important. And in these instances, there's nothing. And so now I'm on my own. And it's a turnoff.
Well, yeah, because stitching is supposed to be fun. It's always supposed to be fun. And if you're frustrated when you're stitching, then you're no longer having fun.
Right. Well, that one, I had to rip out, I bet I ripped out a third of the thing, and all for one little error. And it had to be fixed because everything was symmetrical. Just gets my blood boiling, because it, you know, I was really doing well. I was cooking along. Another time. So, I did want to ask you now next year. And so this mermaid thing, and we had a video, there's a video on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. There's a video where Beth and I show all of the 2022 projects and comment on them and so on and so forth. So there's a video there, and then you can go to egausa.org, and you don't have to be a member, and you can see all of the projects, that the classes that are available for next year. So, but I wanted to ask you, do you know if there's any plan for the live classes to be offered as simultaneously as virtual classes, or is that not in the works for next year?
That is not in the works.
Okay.
There would be a lot of logistical things that would have to be worked out. There are a lot of teachers that are very reluctant to do any kind of a hybrid, what is called a hybrid class, where it is online or, you know, a video conference and live classroom, because they're afraid that their time will be so divided between the students in the classroom and the students that are online, that they would not be able to do justice to one or the other group is going to get ignored or left out.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of resistance and reluctance to do that. Now, that being said, a lot of the teachers do teach online. I teach online, not at the same time as a face-to-face class, but I teach online to my projects that I offer here, there, and other places are going to wind up online.
Yeah.
When, I can't say.
Right.
But eventually.
Okay. So if I can't get to the New York show, there will be some point in the future where I'll be able to take a class from you with the mermaid design, for
probably.
Example. Yeah.
Probably. Okay. And same with, you know, Terry Bay's projects and Curdy's projects. And, you know, I don't know if Margaret has done anything, Margaret Kinsey has done anything online or not, but I know Tony Gertis has. I think, don't think Jennifer Reifenberg has. I know that Kathy Reese has. I mean, there's several that are offering classes online.
Yeah. Okay, just wondered. Yeah, I hope we get to a point one day where we can have that so that more people can participate in the national or regional events. I appreciate the logistics, you know. But
yeah, it would be very difficult. And then you'd have to have somebody with a camera set up in the room who's just filming. And then you'd also have to have camera feeds from the document camera or whatever the teacher is using to demonstrate, or their PowerPoint, or, you know, there's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we're using more and more technology in the classrooms. But then all of that is a further complexity for doing something at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that being said, I don't know if they're working on that or if they would be working on that. I, for one, would be willing to guinea pig that.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of technology. I could even bring my own cameraman with me.
Yeah. You got a guy.
I got a guy. And, I did want to say one thing. If people go to egausa.org and look at the class projects, those are only class projects. They are only available as classes. So don't bother contacting the instructor or the designer to say, can I buy this? Because you can't.
Right. Yeah, those are locked down. I mean, that's EGA, ANG, whatever. When you submit, because you submit that, 2 years ahead of time? And then, those are locked down and only for those events, because otherwise, you know, people would say, well, I don't need to go to the event. I can just take it somewhere else.
Exactly.
So you can't, calling Debbie and asking her for that chart, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, because I'm just going to tell you no. And none of them will be taught anywhere before the EGA National 2022.
Right.
Now, I would encourage everybody to come. We're going to be on Broadway. And I understand that the hotel we're going to be in actually has a Broadway theater in the hotel.
Yep.
So you can go to a show. You can go to a lot of shows if you want to. In addition to taking, you know, of course, you can go take a class all day and then go to a show all night. I don't know how you're going to do in class the next day, but whatever. It should be tremendous fun. Lots of, you know, just, I've never been to New York.
Oh.
I've been upstate. I've been to Syracuse, but I've never been to New York City.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to see if my director of operations can come with me.
Yeah, him. That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
No, I've been, of course, for trade shows, I've been in New York a number of times. And I believe it's the Marriott Marquis is where the show was at.
Yeah,
and it's right there in near Times Square. And I used to have one magazine I worked on. Our biggest show every year was right at the end of August. And we always stayed in the Marriott Marquis. And it was also always at the beginning of the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
Yeah.
And that was the headquarters hotel for the Women's Tennis Association. So all the professional women tennis players stayed there too. Well, I wouldn't say all of them. I'm sure some had, you know, their own accommodations. But so we would be there at the beginning, and of course we get to see some of these stars coming and going, which was pretty cool. But then,
oh, yeah.
Then we would do the same thing. Instead of going to a show, the first couple of nights of the U.S. Open, we'd get tickets and go and watch tennis. And,
well, sure.
Yeah, and we exhibited, so we had to go a couple days early. So, we would do that. So that was always – otherwise, I'd have never seen U.S. Open tennis. But that was a lot of fun. And then, I've seen a few plays. And, what was the Lion King, that – when that first showed up on Broadway, Disney – I think it was Disney – renovated a theater to have that to open – so it opened in a theater that had just been renovated – so I got to see that within, shortly after it had opened at this theater. So I always treasure that because that's such a cool musical. And, a lot of fun to be had in New York. And of course, restaurants to burn. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you got to take your tech support there. if you've never been, you got to go. Yep.
Yeah.
You got to go. Yeah. So, that clears that up. So, if you can get there and take this course, I really think you'd enjoy the mermaid, design from Debbie. It just caught my eye. I've been hanging on to that.
So, well, thank you.
Yeah. And this isn't going to be all about the EGA National Seminar, but I do want to remind people, Beth and I did 18 videos while we were in Chicago. And they're all on the FiberTalk YouTube channel. Now, we did 3 live shows, and those, you'd look in the live section. There's a section of shows that are live streamed, and you'll find those there. And then the rest of them are just in the regular upload section. And but one that we did that I really hope people will take the time to go look at is Natalie Dupuy, who is an apprentice judge. I took a couple of pieces with me to the seminar. And then we did a video where she basically talked through what goes through a judge's mind in evaluating these two pieces. And one is a counted canvas piece, and the other was basically a cross-stitch embroidery piece on linen. And so I encourage people to go watch that, not just, because it's my pieces, please spare me that, but because you get to see what a judge looks at when they look at stitched pieces, and it will help you do a better job, understand what people who are trained to look for things, what they look for, and it was really educational for me on my own pieces. I had a brief moment where, I'm not sure I want to put this on, record this, but I got over it because I really wanted people to see. Because you never get to talk to a judge,
Right.
You might get a couple paragraphs of comments at best, and sometimes you can pay for a full critique. But in general, you just get an award or no award. And,
right.
What are they looking for? And Natalie takes us through this whole thing. But one of the things that we talked about, and I was not going to have the discussion because it was going to take too long in the video, and I wondered what you had been taught, because I've been always taught that when you're doing counted canvas work, that if you have shared holes, one of the things you work very hard is to not have a thread cross that shared hole, and that you should be able to hold your piece up to light when you're done and see light coming through all of those shared holes. Is that still legit? Is that something you pay attention to, or am I just remembering different?
I I don't know how that's possible for some stitches.
Oh, it's not always. No, it's not
because,
always.
Because like for a waffle stitch, the thread carry is right along the outside edge of the waffle stitch, and light is not going to show through there.
Right.
There's just no way that it can, and there are any number of stitches where that's the case. Now, I do try to pay attention to and make sure that I have good tension on each end of the stitch. In other words, does the stitch wrap around the canvas properly? Because you know that, like, and I talk about this as, like, let's take a Smyrna cross stitch, for example, and you're stitching Smyrna cross stitches in a row. And the last stitch of your Smyrna stitch should be the same for all of them. So right. Usually that's the horizontal stitch. And if you are stitching in a row that's going from left to right, you make that last stitch from right to left.
Yes.
And the reason for that is to wrap around the canvas so that you don't have an end that could potentially show, the thread carry that could potentially show through when you travel to the next one. And if you are stitching in a row and your row is going from right to left, you make the last stitch from left to right.
Yes.
So in other words, that last stitch is made in the opposite direction that you're traveling. And this is true for several different stitches where, like a road, if you're stitching road stitches, you need to pay attention to when I end this stitch, if I end this stitch here and begin the next stitch, what is that doing to the ends? Is it going to properly wrap under the canvas? So it's not necessarily light showing through, but it's making sure that each end of the stitch is properly wrapped around the canvas.
Right, and that's what I was getting to, is those kinds of stitches where you would do a field of those, you mm-hmm. should not have carryover across from stitch to stitch.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, and I am still sane. Okay.
Right, and the way that you take care of that is to pay attention to where's my last stitch ending and where's the first stitch in the next one. And you may need to reverse the direction of your last stitch to get to the first stitch for the next one.
Right. And it makes a difference in the overall appearance if you make that effort. Yes.
It does make a difference to have each stitch neat and they all look the same.
Right. It gives very, like if they're a block, if they're a solid square, mm-hmm. it gives very clean edges all the way around
right.
if you make
exactly.
that effort. Yes. And
exactly.
that's worth it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I needed to check to make sure I was still sane. Agreed. There are a lot of stitches where you just simply can't do that. There's just the physical structure of the stitch mm-hmm. will yeah. never allow you to do that. And you just,
right.
you don't even try because the stitch will never work otherwise. But, when right. you have that opportunity, yeah, make sure that you're clean all the way around. Yes. Yeah. Cause she was talking about, it was really enlightening to me. She was talking about, I had done some brick stitch, and canvas was showing through. And so she was talking about either adding an extra strand so that mm-hmm. canvas didn't show through or going to a thicker thread. And that, boy, she really caught me on that one because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the little flecks of white all the way through, mm-hmm. and it was a dark maroon. And little flecks of white. And the minute she pointed it out, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I really should not have done that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we're doing canvas work, and especially if you're doing a satin stitch, and a brick stitch is a satin stitch, what I always try to teach my students is as much as possible, come up in an empty hole and go down in a shared hole. Mm-hmm. That helps quite a bit. When you're doing a satin stitch, all of your stitches should come from the same direction. So if you started in, this wraps the canvas completely, the thread completely around the canvas, and you have just as much thread on the back as you do on the front.
Right.
And the tendency is to stitch economy style, where you would stitch yeah. the first stitch from bottom to top and the second stitch from top to bottom. That's not going to properly wrap the thread around the canvas. Okay, so that is very important to keep in mind. And another thing to keep in mind is it takes more strands to cover the canvas with a straight stitch than it does with a diagonal stitch.
Yes.
So So if you are doing a brick stitch, I almost always am going to use at least four strands and sometimes more. But if I were doing a diagonal stitch, I might use two. And so, and always use a laying tool. You know, just that's always use a laying
Okay,
tool.
all right, so let me back you up there. So if I'm using the same thread diagonally and then horizontally or vertically, then your rule of thumb then is to double strands at minimum.
Or at least one more.
Okay, all
You
right.
know, you might be okay getting away with three, but for a satin stitch, you remember the purpose of a satin stitch is to be a whole area that is completely flat and smooth
Right.
to look like satin. That's the purpose of it. And there's a whole lot of stitches that fall into the satin stitch category. Brick stitch, double brick, Parisian, Victorian step, cashmere, mosaic, these are all satin stitches. And they, depending on the thread that you're using, the thickness of the strands, and you know, I can't just say four strands because some 12-stranded silk, the individual strands are thinner than a six-stranded silk. And so I also tell my students that you can start off with three or four strands. And if you're not happy with the coverage, as long as it's not an overdyed thread, you can go back and add another strand to it without ripping everything out. You just lay another strand beside it.
Okay, so there's a good trick, 'cause my inclination would be to rip it out, but
Yeah, no,
yeah.
you don't have to rip it out. But you know, you just need to make sure that it's laying properly
Yeah.
next to the strands that are already on the canvas. But you know, if you stitch with four strands and then you look back at it and go, you know what, that's really a little skimpier than I'd like, I'm going to add another strand in. Add another strand in without taking everything else out, just add another strand beside it.
Yeah. Okay, so as with so many things, it comes down to your mileage may vary. You really need to test and see if you're getting the proper coverage and play around a little bit, and you'll find the right number of strands and then go.
Yeah, you can always stitch in the margin of your canvas, but I hate doing that. You know, I'd rather just stitch in where I need to be stitching. If I need to add some more, I'll add some more. I was doing something, for my stitch along that's on my blog, and I was doing diagonal stitches. And I started off with four strands and decided it was way too heavy and completely lost the structure of the stitch. And so I had to take it all out and then go back to two because it just completely was not working.
Well,
You
and
know,
that's a
you.
that's a good point there too. You can go too far.
Oh, yeah, you can get too much.
And then it just looks chunky and messy.
Right, because you remember if you're doing a stitch pattern like a double brick and you want it to have a particular look, or let's say you're doing a Hungarian stitch and you want it to look like little diamonds, and if you're using too many strands, you'll completely lose that. And so you need to have enough so that you can see the structure of the pattern without obscuring it too much, but also you don't want the canvas to show through. So
Well, no, I mean, it's important because this applies to no, it doesn't, it's not just canvas work, it applies everywhere. That you really need to do that. Now, let me add, this is the question that's one too far. All right, so I have a thread. And I'm doing a satin stitch or some form of a satin stitch, and no matter what I do, I'm either getting not enough coverage or too much coverage. It's too fat. All right, then is do you just accept one or the other, or do you find yourself, well, then I need to find another thread?
Well, that depends. So, you know, if it's there's a lot of threads, you know, that you can remove strands to get, like silk lamé braid. You can remove some of the strands from silk lamé braid to thin it down a little bit if you feel like it's too fat and chunky. Now, you can't do that with every thread, obviously. You know, I don't recommend trying to separate pearl cottons. Pearl pearl cottons are meant to be stitched with as they come from the ball or the skein or whatever. But there are some threads that where you can, like, let's say you're stitching with number 8 braid and you've decided that number 8 braid is too heavy, go to number 4 braid.
Yeah.
It's kind of a feel thing.
Okay.
And, you know,
I knew that. I knew that.
Like one of my teacher partners in the mystery retreat, she likes everything with a skimpy coverage.
Uh-huh.
And it's another teacher friend calls it airy fairy. And I don't like that. And so for my own piece, I would stitch with more strands, but she wants it with a lighter touch, which I don't really care for. But, you know, if I'm stitching her design, I use the number of strands that she calls for. But for my own stuff, I usually use more. For a satin stitch, I usually use 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Yeah.
Depending on how heavy I want it to look.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So then really, you know, it depends, but it really is, this is the art interpretation portion of our program,
right?
Is you decide what you like and what is the feel that you like, and don't let the stitch police come along and tell you you're good or bad.
Right.
But then if it's being judged and the judge doesn't care for it, accept that.
Right.
It's always subjective. So
it's always subjective. And, you know, I have a great deal of respect for what judges do and appraisers and that kind of thing, but their interpretation may not be the same as mine. And right. I have to be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what, when you put something up to be judged, that you just accept that out of the gate.
Yes.
You may not agree. And you may have one that does not win a ribbon in this competition and put the same thing in the next one and be the best in show. So you just,
you never know. And, you know, like I said, I do have a great deal of respect for the judges. They go through an extensive training and other kinds of things because they're trying to maintain a high level of stitching.
Yeah.
Yep. Of technique. I'm not. You know, my purpose in stitching is different. And right. So I very seldom put anything in for judging because I just am not, I don't want to sound too cavalier about this. I know that there's a lot of people that are extremely proud and rightly so of the ribbons that they've won, the prizes that they've won in a judged competition. And I know a lot of stitchers who deliberately stitch with that goal in mind. And that's fine. That is their purpose and how they want to stitch. That's just never been the way I've looked at it.
Well, but in fairness to you, in your designs and stitching a model, you need a functional piece of needlework that you can photograph because you need to use it to teach, to put charts out there. And so it's not the kind of thing that's ever going to be examined up close with a magnifier. You need it to be functional and look good and be done, you know, primarily to be finished. And so a lot of extra care is just not productive for you in terms of what you're doing.
No, and I don't spend a lot of time putting something in, taking it out, putting it in, taking it out. I can't do that. I don't have a lot of time to do that. But I do have enough objectivity about my own designs and my own pieces to be able to tell my students, you may want to do it this way or you may want to do it this way. And, you know, this is up to you. And there are options. I'm not the only one with good ideas.
Yeah. So, well, it's just this whole area just intrigues me because it's this interpretation of whatever piece it is, even if you're just simply following the instructions, it's how do you interpret that? You know, do you stitch tight? Do you stitch loose? How do you execute these stitches? Do you like airy-fairy? Do you like it? You know, a proper full, I shouldn't say proper, but a full coverage of your canvas. you know, or your linen or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own way of doing it, and that's the way that works for you and that you enjoy, and so you need to stick to that gun. And
right, you know, because it's all very what pleases you to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, you can come along and learn from others that might improve your stitching. But if you like a certain style or approach and that's what gives you pleasure, then stick to it and enjoy it. You know, don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't feel
and don't feel like you need validation from somebody else to approve of your choices and your preferences.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, how many artists, you know, master painters, just went off and did their own thing, and they didn't want to hear anybody, didn't want anybody's input, you know. Just and you know, it works. So if you don't do your own thing, it's forever whatever my peers think. And so you stitch something and say, mm-hmm. you know, to 10 people, what do you think? And then you take that all in and go back and modify it. No, do what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when we were going to trade shows and we would see everybody, you know, was just going berserk over samplers. And my husband said, why don't you do one? And I said, well, for one thing, I don't like them.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't like them. I can appreciate the historical value of samplers, but I couldn't tell you one from the next. What makes this one different? What makes this one a good one?
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea. I really honestly have no idea. And so if I were to try to design that, I would inevitably get it wrong because I don't know.
Right.
And
right.
It's not something that I'm interested in, and it's not something that I'm going to study. Now, you know, Gene Lee can look at samplers and tell you exactly this one is good because of this, this one is not because of this, and this one has a better use of color, and I would look at them and go, they're the exact same colors.
Yep. Yep.
So, because it's just not what I like.
Yep.
And, you know, other people look at geometric canvas designs and go, bleh.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And that's perfectly fine. We all get to stitch what we like.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's the whole beauty of it. And even just in the needlepoint world, painted canvas versus charted canvas.
Exactly.
You know, you can find people who will not cross that line no matter what. Why would you do charted canvas? Why would you do painted canvas? The artwork is already done. You can all those art, and that's yeah. Everybody finds what works for them,
exactly,
and what they enjoy, and that's the key to me. Do what you enjoy, and do it the way you enjoy it. And if someone comes along and says, you know, if you did this stitch here this way, you might like it. Give it a try, and you might find and you might find you're a better stitcher for it. But if you still like the way you've been doing it, stick mm-hmm. to it. You know,
yeah, you know, and that being said, I've taken many classes and things that I was not that interested in the project at all.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to take a class from that teacher, or I wanted to see if there were techniques that I could glean
right.
that would make me a better stitcher. And inevitably, that's what happens. And so, you know, if you I encourage everybody to take a class. Because you are going to learn things. You may or may not be in love with the project, but you're going to learn a lot about stitching and how to be a better stitcher, how to be a more efficient stitcher, and how to have more fun stitching.
Yeah, yeah. Well, perfect example, your mermaid thing, I'll go back to that. You know, once you explain that the design is not to do a pretty mermaid thing, but it's to teach you different aspects of needlework that can apply anywhere. And
right.
and so you take that class, and you may hate that project. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's what you take out of it in terms mm-hmm. of technique that will be useful elsewhere. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's like I took a Japanese embroidery class. I have no interest in pursuing a certification in Japanese embroidery. And, after talking with Margaret, you know everything that's involved with
Oh,
that.
you gotta admire people who go all the way through that thing.
Yes,
Wow.
I do.
Wow.
And their perseverance and everything else. But this particular class I took because of who the teacher was. I wanted a class with this teacher before she didn't teach anymore. And
Yeah.
so I got the class and I learned quite a bit that I could apply to County Canvas.
Yep.
I haven't finished the project. I don't know if I'll ever be able to finish the project. I would love to finish the project, but I learned a lot.
Yeah. And
And,
so it's worth the money right there. Yep.
absolutely, absolutely. And, I've taken other classes where I didn't care all that much about the project, but there was a particular technique that they were going to do that I wanted to learn how to do that particular technique, and so I took the class.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, more to it than just another project to finish. Yes. Yep.
A
All
lot
right.
more to it.
All right, we're going to call it here, Debbie, but I do now we for you still have the monthly little projects going on, right?
Yes,
So
I'm working on October's. Even right now.
even right now. Okay.
Even right now.
Yeah, so you go to debbiesdesigns.com and she has one for every month. And we can get all the way back to January, right? You can still get,
Yes.
yeah. So you can have a collection, one for every month that you can hang on your wall and switch out every month or whatever you want to do with it.
Exactly.
So
And
October is going to be a great big jack-o'-lantern with black eyes.
no.
No.
But I'm not going to tell you what it's going to
Okay.
be. Just have to hit my website on October the 1st to see it. But
Okay.
I also wanted to point out that I do also have a free stitch along, and I post the next step in the stitch along every Monday. And it's completely free. All you have to do is look at it. You can download the instructions every week and stitch from your stash and maybe learn some things. Have a good time.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll put a link to Debbie's website in the show notes, always do, and just go there. And that's, this is the kind of thing you mentioned a free stitch along, and no matter what technique you use or what you're interested in, all of these designers offer these kinds of things, either a free chart, a free project, small little things. So if you want to try something out, it's like this stitch along right from stash. You don't you really just a piece of canvas and whatever threads you have, and I've thought many times, you don't even have to coordinate the colors. If you have the threads, just nobody's going to see it, but do it for the technique, do it for the experience. Yeah.
Well, and I also have people that do these stitch alongs on fabric. They don't do them on canvas.
Yep.
And for the most part, they could be done on fabric. You might need to use fewer strands. But yeah, you could do them on fabric. If you don't have canvas and you want to work in a hoop and do them on fabric, go for it.
Yep.
The
Yeah.
object is to just be stitching. And all of us have stash that, threads left over from one project or another that we don't know what to do with, but we can't
Right.
throw them away.
Right. Right. But that's just it.
Or,
That's just it. Use them. Use them for these
use
kinds of
them.
things. You know,
Use them up.
if it's two colors that together are absolutely disgusting to you, but you learn a new technique, so what? It didn't cost you any
Who
money.
cares? And then throw it away.
Yep. And you learn something. Yep.
Yeah.
Worth it. Yep. All right, debbiesdesigns.com. That's where you find the free stuff from Debbie and the little monthly project. They really are. I mean, I haven't stitched a one of them. But I do check in every month to see what you're doing, and they are a lot of fun. You're really having fun with them, I
Yeah.
can tell. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of
Yeah.
fun.
Yep. Yep. And just simple little projects you can do and knock out in a short time and have some fun with them. Yep. It's great. All right. That's it. Join us tonight when we have Melinda Cole from Mary Wynn Farm show us samplers. Debbie won't be with us. She's not interested. But for all of you who
Sorry.
are, for all of you who are,
Yes.
we're gonna do samplers and yeah. All right, there we have it. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for listening.